You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for being here and supporting what we're doing. It's been fascinating to see all kinds of new names popping up in our comments and sending letters and emails and stuff. So thank you all so much for that. And if you have a story of your very own that you'd like to be on the show to share, I'd love to hear from you. If you'd email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. I would love to get you on the show and let everybody else hear what you've seen or been through. So today we got a wonderful show set up for you. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. Of course, you don't really know who it is yet, but let me get to that. We are joined today by Amber from California, who has had just an incredible amount of experiences in the paranormal, and we've got her here with us for this episode, and we're going to hear a bunch of fascinating things. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get right to it. Welcome to the show, Amber. Thanks so much for coming in.
Hi, Brent. Very, very nice to be talking to you.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Now, you've shared with me several of your experiences, and I'm absolutely blown away. I mean, you are really dialed into this stuff for some reason. First of all, has this been a lifelong experience for you, huh?
Yeah, since I was a little child, actually, a toddler.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fascinating. And I guess, you know, in going through this kind of stories, why don't we start there? Can you share with us how this kind of all began?
It's just a strange experience happened to me when I was very tiny, where I saw something very strange in my bedroom one day, mm-hmm. and it scared the living heck out of me. and after that, just little tiny things started happening. Just so you know that I actually was raised in a haunted house.
Wow.
So I had to deal with that as I was growing up. So I think that was part of awakening that gift in me,
mm-hmm.
that I could actually see things, hear things. As I got older, I started to dream things.
Wow.
And I shared all this experience with my mother. Excuse me, dear. And she was very open, very psychic, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're of the First Nation bloodline, Apache Navajo. So I think that has something to do with it, too. We're connected,
you know,
on that level of awareness.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think you really hit on something there in that I think growing up in an environment that's teeming with paranormal activity or paranormal energies, I think you're right. It really does probably help to awaken those things that might lay more dormant than the rest of us.
Right. It was definitely teeming with energy at this house.
Wow.
My mom's room felt like it was a portal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very creepy. My mom was very religious.
Mm-hmm.
I was brought up in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Don't practice it so much now because I practice other religions and mm-hmm. have grasped spirituality now. But back in the day, I think that's what kept the house quiet was my mom's prayers.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
But, I used to get some very strange dreams as a child. One interesting experience was an alien experience.
Oh, wow.
Not to say that I was taken, but I felt that they were in the room.
Mm.
And I couldn't move, and I saw different things and heard different voices, saw lights. Was terrified. Couldn't move out of my bed. And I finally passed out. And I don't think I told that to my mom. I think that was a bit too scary to share with her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want her to freak out. I think I was about 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's intense.
I'm not getting, yeah. We have a little bit of a time lapse here, so I'm going to be real quiet to hear your answer.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, starting out so young and having such profound activity is got to be, it has to affect you. I mean, on several levels. Now, were you able to constantly talk to your mom, or were you kind of by yourself in this throughout a lot of this journey?
Oh, no. My mom was very open to hearing what I had to say.
Oh, cool.
She was real supportive.
Mm-hmm.
She never told me, oh, you're crazy. She'd say, oh, well, that must have been this or that, you know, and I was like, wow, mom is all-knowing here. So I was never afraid. I know. I was never afraid to tell her because she had experienced things as a young child
mm-hmm.
also.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was normal, like, you know, going to school for us. You know, we just accepted it. The only person that didn't really accept it was my father because he never saw or heard anything.
Uh-huh.
Nothing.
Okay.
Like he'd be standing right next to us and he'd say, what are you looking at?
Oh, man. So he was in a whole different place with all of this.
Yes, he was, yeah. He was like a disbelieving Thomas.
So kind of take us on the journey then. So you had that early experience and this was pretty consistent throughout your entire childhood?
It kind of skipped around a little bit. I know that when I was about 9, I started feeling very uncomfortable, like in my skin.
Mm.
I was kind of looking around like, what's going on in this world? Because I would see things that weren't of this world, like very 3D. I would see things in another dimension, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get really concerned that I wasn't in the right spot. But as I started getting older, like being a teenager, my gifts started to make more sense. I started having, like, out-of-body experiences.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, interesting enough. And then I would have dreams where I would actually do, not regressions, but I would be able to go to sleep, dream about something that was going on with my friends, wake up the next day and say, hey, I know what you guys did last night. And I would tell them, they would just, their mouths would drop. They're like, oh, my God, how did you? And I said, I don't know, I dreamt it.
Oh, wow.
And Yeah. So the dreaming started to open up. Things slowly but surely were happening during my lifetime, and it was all very shocking to me because I didn't really know what to make of it. My mom, I kind of surpassed my mom in experiences that I was having. And my grandmother, her mother actually, started to be concerned because I didn't have like a teacher to guide me through what I was going through. So I was kind of lost.
Oh.
Kind of felt alone in that situation. But as I got older, I grasped on to all the experiences I was having. Now, at this time, I wasn't able to do mediumship or talk or communicate with animals. But I was very aware of, say, people's like ghosts being around. One very crazy experience I'll tell you about in detail. I was in high school, and I'm always up late at night, and I was getting ready for the final for the next day, and I was sewing a dress at the last minute. And it was this 1970s dress with ruffles and all that hippie-looking thing. And it was like 2 in the morning, and I something told me to look over my shoulder into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And as I look over my shoulder, I see this woman, this ghost. She was almost very solid. She was translucent, but almost solid. She came floating through the kitchen door, and she stood at the door, and she was white. Her face was white, and that terrified me. Her hair was very black. She had these bright red lips, and her dress looked almost like chiffon.
Wow.
And my mom always would tell me, look down. If you don't see feet, they're ghosts, she says, and they're negative. So I looked down at her feet, and there were no feet. She was not on the ground. And I went, oh, no, time to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I slowly put everything away, like ignoring her, and she was just glaring at me. Walked into my room real quick, and my sister was up. My sister goes, oh, my God, did you see it? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm in here. And she says, we got to go wake up, Mom. We got to pray.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get out of the room. We were so scared. We didn't want to leave the room.
Wow.
And about 3 minutes later, my mom gets up and she walks and she goes, are you guys okay? And I'm like, how does she know, right?
Yeah.
And I said, did you see it, Mom? She goes, I felt it. She goes, I felt your fear. Oh. So right away, she started to calm us down and she says, oh, it was probably your aunt. Said, Mom, this was not our aunt. This was someone totally different. She said, what did she look like? So I started telling her what she looked like. I go, doesn't look like my auntie. It wasn't her. Her energy was so different.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we told our dad, and my dad's like, what? You know, but it was terrifying because she came so late. I was tired and she was menacing.
Wow.
She didn't smile. Yeah, I didn't hear any communication.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was like a story I would tell everybody, like all my friends at school or all the guys that used to hang out in the neighborhood. And it fascinated everybody.
Right.
And then I started having experiences in the neighborhood with my friends, and then I realized our neighborhood was haunted.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. Yeah. I was going to ask you if it was just your house or was it the region itself?
It was the region, and I did some research. At that time, the only information I could get was that somebody told me it was an old Indian grave, you know, spot. And I didn't feel comfortable with that. Some friends of mine that lived up the street that I used to hang out with, they had some extreme paranormal activity going on in their house, too.
Mm.
Then there was a little house in the corner that you would see a ghost at the window all the time. I mean, it was everywhere.
Huh.
And it was very entertaining when we were in our teens. You know, we used to go and scare ourselves to death.
Sure.
Yeah, and later, that part of the history of the neighborhood later, which was... probably in 2004, I did some spiritual work and some meditations, and I was more schooled in what I was experiencing. And my daughter saw a little girl standing at my mom's driveway, and she says, Mom, this girl, her hair is wet. I said, describe her to me. And she said, but her hair doesn't look like it's water. I might get a little emotional. And she said, she looks like she's crying. She looks very upset. So for a long time, we didn't know what it was. And she kept seeing this little girl. And she told my mom. And my mom goes, well, keep asking who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, we realized, both of us, more and more me than my daughter, I saw her. She appeared to me one day. And she told me that she had been killed. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, who are you? My people, she kept saying, my people have been murdered. And I finally got information from her that she was attacked by another Indian tribe, and she was drowned in a pot of oil.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a horrible death, and I just cried. I just, you know, I couldn't cry. And I thought, you know, I've got to start clearing my mom's property.
Yeah.
Of what the energy, that's part of the energies that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did finally clear some energy. And there are layers of energy at this property that we finally moved out of in Pasadena. But I could write a volume on it. But I finally got her to go to where she needed to be to find some peace.
Okay.
And all the women that were massacred there. So I know that there was a massacre. Because I've talked to the spirits, and so it's just amazing sometimes that I run into.
Right.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, but, you know, as I got older, went through high school, I dabbled with black magic.
Oh.
I hate to say that.
Sure.
My thought is that you have to know the dark before you know the light, because you can't just know the light and not experience the dark, because you don't know what to look for or what you're looking at.
Yeah.
I didn't stay there too long, though. I learned real quick and I got out. So.
Wow. Did you see some creepy things when you did?
It was some kind of negative entity. It was very powerful. It offered me gifts that I could do in my 3D life.
Mm.
We had a conversation and I laughed at it. I said, I don't think so. And then about 15, 20 years later, he came back and I was like, we respected each other at that point. And I said, you know, I have my life and you have your life and I respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you respect me. I'll leave you alone.
So you said that you saw him again and you guys had a mutual respect, and it was that just the end of that?
Pretty much. Yeah. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Okay.
I can describe him to you. I don't know why I saw him in this way. I'll compare him to the entity in the movie Legend.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Tom Cruise, that very, very early movie that he made.
Yep. I remember that one. That was one of my favorites.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what the guy looked like. He was terrifying.
Wow.
But he didn't terrify me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So the first time I saw him, he was red and black. And the second time I talked to him, he was blue and black. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It is. I wonder what I wonder what that color symbolizes. I'm not familiar with the symbolic meaning of color, but I'd be curious to see.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. Well, I know that he was more cunning when he was red, and he was more respectful when he was blue.
Mm-hmm.
He listened more when he was blue.
Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of my experiences I don't quite understand, you know, I'm still learning.
Sure. Well, yeah. It's like walking in several different universes at once, though. Who can, you know? I mean, I don't think anybody has this stuff dialed in.
Now I have it more figured out. I connect more with my ancestors, and I was thinking about this last night. You know, I probably was trying to be, my ancestors were probably trying to communicate with me this whole time, but I just wasn't aware that they were there.
Mm.
I get a lot of messages and symbols. When I sleep, I have visions when I'm awake. I feel them. I feel them. I feel ghosts. I feel the Sasquatch. I feel the fairy. I actually can see them sparking around my feet when they're here. I am so connected to almost everything.
Wow.
I feel this lifetime is like an accumulation of all the lifetimes I've ever had, where I had this this energy of knowing.
Right. This awareness.
This energy. Yeah. This awareness, very strong awareness. Like, I must have been practicing alchemy and different things in past lifetimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this lifetime to me is more like a remembering of things, of remembering who I was and who I am.
Oh.
So it's very deep. It's a real deep lifetime of learning. It's, I think about it and I go, wow, it could be four volumes of things. And I'm trying to make peace with a lot of experiences that I had and didn't understand at the time.
Right. Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. All right, everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up. We're going in. But this is kind of, you know, and you can tell me what you think, but I think that this time and this lifetime is incredibly important in a universal way. And I don't really understand why, but just intuitively since 2017, I've just been like, oh man, this is a time of transition. This is a time of metamorphosis, you know, and change. And I think it's partially why things are so topsy-turvy in our everyday world is because that's maybe a physical manifestation of this time of flux. But there's a lot of things getting processed right now, I think.
Yeah, we're having the pink full moon today, or tonight, I should say. And I was reading and feeling that it is definitely a shift where people are going to start becoming more compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
And the old energy will be leaving, you know, the draconian energy, which I can see even just what's going on with the everyone being on, not lockdown, but we're pretty much isolated in California.
Yeah.
We were told not to go out, and it's been very nice. We are in a flux. Things are changing for the better. I mean, I even prayed for it because I was thinking, how much longer can this earth take all this negativity?
Right.
Yeah. Oppression. Yeah. I actually was studying. I had a real good teacher for the last 22 years that has taken me through a lot of shamanic teachings and tools. And I know a lot that I don't talk about. And basically, I'm a teacher. Like Deb one day said I was a teacher. And I definitely am.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know where to start teaching people about what's happening. But I always tell people, be fearless. You know, don't have fear. Just know.
Yeah.
That will get through this too. And my ancestors keep telling me, you're going to make it. You're going to make it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a lot going on, definitely.
I think one of the key ways, and this is maybe has nothing to do with the interview, but just with, you know, you and I talking about this situation. But I think probably one of the best ways is just to put the information out there like a book, you know? And then let people that are ready for that find it through, you know, whatever means, you know, whether it's a universal guidance or whatever. But I think the more that people share and the more the talk, and I feel this way about the show, is that, you know, the more that we communicate, the better we're all going to be as a result. And I'm so thrilled that so many people are coming forward to talk of their paranormal things because we all stand to learn from this. And I don't think that the paranormal is just this side pocket of weirdness. I think it's more of the big picture functionality that's displaying itself. So.
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like there's a thinning of the veil.
Yes.
And the more people talk about it, the more it's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the veil is going to stay thin. I think people are going to be able to connect to the dimensions that are right next to us. The scientists say that there's 12 dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
There might be more. And I do travel between them, and I know they're real. And I do think that maybe I'll write a little book about that, too. But there's a lot of books out there already about this. Just have to look for them. And I think everyone has a different, people discern differently. So if the book doesn't resonate with you, let it go. Maybe there's one sentence in the book that resonates with you. Keep the book, underline the sentence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have quite a library of different books. Mm-hmm. And it's a good thing. I'm so happy that you have this show. And I was going to tell you, I've noticed you've changed over the years I've been listening to you, and your show is molding into something really wonderful.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bringing a lot of people together that I think would never have met.
Yeah, it seems really, it's kind of funny because at the beginning I tried to steer the portal, but through the years I've learned that it steers itself, and I just need to hold on.
Yep. Definitely.
But no, I think that's absolutely fascinating. I hope you do write a book. But let's get into more of your experiences. What else have you seen or experienced?
Okay. Well, you want to get into a little bit of Sasquatch?
Absolutely. We love Sasquatch around here.
Okay. My first experience with Sasquatch was in the late 70s, I think 79, in Oregon. I had never really heard of Sasquatch before, and I was dating a guy and became my husband. And he was raised in Oregon. So we went up there and spent about 3 months. We lived off the land, basically just traveling around. Well, we went up to this mountain, and I right away found signs of bear tracks. I was really into the animals. Carried a little gun over my shoulder, camera in the other. And the guys were always telling me scary stories, his friends and him. And I said, well, what's this over here? And I said, oh, bear tracks, and the bear was doing this over here, and the bear was doing that. I looked down, I said, what the heck is that? And they went, oh my God, it's a Sasquatch footprint. And it was. It was this 1 foot. It was like 2 times bigger than my foot. So it was about 18 inches.
Wow.
And it looked like it had 6 toes, but it, maybe not. Maybe it was just the way he had walked. Mm-hmm. But it was 1 footprint. So we measured it and kind of left it at that. And the next day, we went camping and walking down into this apple blossom area where there used to be an old mining town way up in these mountains. Mm. I went walking alone. Shouldn't have done this. Started going down the hill, and it got real dense. You know how it gets real dense up here because of the northwest, all the trees, just everything gets dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's daytime. I started going way down this road, and my boyfriend, I guess he was calling me, but I couldn't hear him. And I ended up seeing more tracks. I found bear tracks, badger tracks, and then another big Sasquatch track.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, I think I better go back. So I turned around and went. But I felt something watching me.
Wow.
Next week, we actually went camping up in the mountains. It was a good 5 miles from civilization. We had told our friends we were going to be up there and come join us later. You know, we'll sit around the campfire and get high, whatever. You know, we were in the 70s. We were having a good time.
Uh-huh.
And so we were sitting by the campfire, and it was about 11 o'clock, and the sun was just setting in Oregon. It was summertime. And so I was trying to get used to the whole adjustment of the different sun hours up there. It got real dark real fast, and it was super quiet. All of a sudden, everything got real quiet.
Mm.
And I kind of felt uncomfortable, like maybe his friends were sneaking up on us, but we hadn't heard anything. I was sensing something.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, to our right, very close to the trees where we had been, maybe it was about 30 feet, maybe at the most. Okay, 30 feet from us, we heard a noise at the tree line, and it was a great big crunchy footstep.
Ooh.
Very slow and very deliberate. Him and I looked at each other, and he goes, I think we better get in the van. And I go, do you think it is what I think it is? He goes, yeah. So we, like, left the fire on. We were so scared. We had a fire going. We left the fire pit going. We jumped into the van. We locked the doors. And we used to travel with guns, because in Oregon you can travel with guns. So we had two guns, big guns in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed there, and we didn't hear anything, but we just kind of felt something out there. And about half an hour later, all of a sudden the van starts shaking and things were pounding. I didn't scream. We just sat there, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed, so that stopped. About an hour later, more pounding happened, but this time it was our friends. Oh, I started screaming. I said, how dare you come up here and try to scare us? They're like, what are you talking about? You guys were here half an hour ago. Why were you trying to scare us? I go, we just got here.
Oh, wow.
And I know. And so they go, Sasquatch. And, you know, we were like in our teens, like 19, 20. And so we were just having a good time. So we sat out. We just kind of got our nerve back up, and we went and we sat outside at the, you know, at the fire again and talked till almost the sun went up. But that was kind of a interesting first experience.
Yeah, that's quite a baptism.
We didn't smell him. We didn't hear him, you know. It just maybe he was just trying to get a rise out of us, you know.
Sure.
He would scream, but we didn't scream, so we went away. And the next time I actually experienced anything Sasquatch was just, oh, gosh, about, I would say, eight years ago. So it took a long time between being 20 to being my age now.
Mm-hmm.
And I experienced that in Eaton Canyon, in Altadena, just above Los Angeles, and just feeling someone looking at me. My daughter and I were coming out of the mountains, and we saw this orb. It was a bright red orb, and it almost looked like a one of those camp lanterns. But it was a complete round light. At first, it was like orange, and then it turned red, and it was across the canyon. And I'm familiar with that canyon like the back of my hand. And I said, well, who's going to be over there trying to walk on that side of the canyon going up that mountain? There's no trails. And the sun was going down. It was about 7 p.m. And we had to get out of the park because they closed the gate at the Eaton Canyon. If you don't get out, you get a ticket. And, it's regulated right there. And I was really concerned. I was almost scared to move. And my daughter goes, wow, Mom, she goes, we've never seen anything like this before in this canyon. And we've seen really strange things.
Okay.
So I was real concerned, and we stayed a little while, and then we decided we better get out of here. And we mentioned it to a friend of mine who was a ranger there. And she says, you know, I've never heard of anyone reporting anything that strange. She says, I've heard of people finding structures and people hearing things, but never a light. In that canyon, my daughter and I have taken pictures of, you know, the regular orbs that were very white and beautiful and translucent. But we've never seen anything bright white, bright red like that. So that was another strange experience. Don't know if it was Sasquatch. Don't know what it was.
Sure. Wow.
Then I moved about 20 miles east, and now I'm experiencing the Sasquatch here in our foothills.
Okay, everybody. I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in.
And I sent you that picture the other day of what I took. But they... okay, I'll tell you this. I listened to that one guest you had, and she was speaking about Sasquatch. Gosh, I can't think of her name. The blonde girl that lived in Michigan. I can't think of her name right now. She doesn't come on your show. She decided to stop advertising and talking about it because she was getting death threats.
Oh,
her
sure.
And I connected, and yeah. I was telling her about some experiences. And the night that I had talked to her, I went to sleep and had some major communication from them in my dream time. And I woke up crying, and the communication was that they were very upset that we were basically killing Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never had any communication like that from Sasquatch ever.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd forgotten about him for a while. And interesting, I went up into the mountains. I got a call from my cousin. He said, let's go walking. I said, oh, yeah, let's get up there. So I went up there with the intention of seeing and feeling and letting the Sasquatch know I was there. I kept thinking, is there anyone here? Is there anyone here? If there's anyone here, let me know. So when I got home, I started looking at the pictures that I had taken, and I saw some faces behind a tree,
mm-hmm.
which we were only about 30 feet from. And I had just randomly taken some pictures because it's beautiful up there. It goes back, and it just goes back. There's a huge dam up there, a huge reservoir. And I thought, wow, this is the perfect spot for them to get water. There's deer, there's wolves, there's bears, there's everything back here.
Mm-hmm.
Sent the pictures to, I guess her name was Cheryl, sent the pictures to her, and I said, look, do you see anything here? I see something. So she put them on her computer and lightened them up, and she says, oh, wow. So she started circling all the different faces that she was seeing. And I caught some wolf beings, little tiny, they look like tiny, tiny wolves with very friendly faces. So we found a lot of this in the picture.
Wow.
Since then, I've had communication with them. I've had three come visit me on a different dimension. You know, they're not 3D.
Sure.
They asked me if they could show themselves. I said, no, I wasn't ready to see them because I'd probably faint. I said, you know, come to me in energy form, and I can deal with you better that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they do kind of float in now and then. And when they do, I see this vibration in the, I see this energy, which I do see energies. I see this energy, almost like that, what's that movie with Schwarzenegger in it? Not Terminator, the other one. Where the creature, you know, he camouflages. Well, anyway, they camouflage.
Predator. The Predator. Predator is the movie.
Predator, there you go. But, you know, my Predator, he's a very sweet Predator, but I've felt them standing by me. I've seen their energy vibrate near me. And they, when they come to me, it's very powerful and very, it's like they're looking at me and taking in all my emotions. They watch me how I handle my dog, which he's a beast in himself. And it's very, you know, I see them there and I say, hello. I go, hi, I know you're here. And there's a little one that comes. Her name is Tatiana. She told me her name was Tatiana, so I call her Titi. Uh-huh. She comes and visits a lot. And I see her sometimes sitting on the floor. She's light. She's like amber colored, almost a gold. And she's real tiny. She's probably a toddler. She's maybe 5 or 6 feet.
Oh, wow.
Very curious, very sweet. The female, I can't remember her name, I wrote it down, Mama, she's very, she trusts me with her daughter, basically. And then the Papa, he came to me first about 2 years ago. His name is Randy, and he's huge. She's over 10 feet tall.
Wow.
I've experienced him walking with me at night when I used to walk the dog late at night. And it's actually, I feel like they're a blessing at that level. I've always had this affinity for great big hairy monsters. Like, I love gorillas. Oh, I just love gorillas.
Uh-huh.
Like orangutans. I like, what's that movie, Monsters, Inc.? I love Sully.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in love with Sully. Oh, I'm like, oh, my God, I wish I had a Sully. So I guess the Sasquatch heard that and they said, okay, let's go visit Amber.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, it's I talk about it like they're my neighbors knocking at the door, but I just, in my experiences, I just accept things that come my way.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been like the most exciting experience I've had so far. But going back to when I was a teenager, I met this, I was about 22 when I met this woman. She came over with a friend of ours. And she was a psychic. She was kind of crazy. She's kind of loopy. But I didn't make any judgment because she was, like, talking about things that I understood.
Sure.
And she looked at me and she says, you know what? She says, you're going to be very in tune. You're going to be very psychic. You're going to be tremendous as you get older.
Wow.
And I looked at her and went, how do you know? And she says, I can see it. And it scared my boyfriend. He goes, you need to leave. I mean, it really terrified him because he knew of all the things that I could do and all the energies that I was had around me.
Yeah.
So nothing happened for years and years and years, but nothing happened. I kind of started to lose my gift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and kind of put it on the back shelf because I started going through a lot with the man I was with.
Sure.
And finally, like in my 30s, I started to connect again to what I was meant to be doing, I guess I could say.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 1989. I was at work, and behind my shoulder, I heard the words, it is time, loud and clear, like someone was standing behind me. It was a very strong, forceful, loving voice. It is time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what is it time for? I turned around, I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah. Who's talking to me?
Right.
And I told my mom, and she says, oh, I think your guardian angel's talking to you.
Mm.
She says, just listen. Just listen. So other things started opening up at that point, and I was in my early 30s. Yeah.
Okay.
So what else would you like to talk about? I mean, there's just so many things.
I think it's interesting what you said about you felt that you were losing your gifts. And right away, what came to me was what was going on at that time. And then you said you were going through a tough time. And I think that that's really common, that we, you know, we do have periods of our life where we're really in tune and where things seem to really be serendipitous and there's a real synchronicity. And then there's times where, and it might be that we go against our natural flow and we decide that, you know, we're going to force something into our world that really wasn't meant to be there. And then once we're out of that serendipity and that synchronicity, then it's like if you don't feel like you can feel anything at all. And I've experienced that in my life too. I said lives, but no, I probably have in my lives as well. But you know, where I decided that things that on a very emotional level I knew were not productive and not going to be good for me, but I was trying to force them into my life because, you know, for whatever reasons. And I found that in those times, I felt absolutely alien to everything. Like there was no flow, there was no music in my life. And I don't know how to say it other than that. It was like, when things go well, it's almost like you're dancing to a song. Excuse me for a second. But in those times where I was forcing things, it was like I was, you know, dancing against the music and I wasn't in sync and nothing was flowing through me because I was just creating too much turmoil within myself, within my world. But I think that a lot of sensitive people get to, and I think everybody's sensitive to a degree, but I think we all get to those points in our lives where, you know, whatever that whimsical, charming way of us as we were kids, we kind of start forcing things into our world because we think we're supposed to, and we're acting against our nature, and suddenly the energy doesn't flow. And I thought that was really profound when you brought that up.
Yeah, I was going through emotional trauma like crazy back then, just a lot of stuff that my friends used to say, God, you know, we thought you were losing it. And I was trying to hold myself together, basically. I'm a very strong person that way, as far as I'm very strong-minded. So I was really battling, and I was trying to find myself again. I was trying to heal. I was trying to find out who I was. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I closed down the gift for a while, and it started opening up later. But I was getting a lot of psychic attacks back then, too. Mm-hmm. So I was being attacked.
Do you know?
People, I wasn't really sure who it was. I finally found out who it was.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. And that got resolved then?
I actually was led to a woman that helped me protect myself, and we got it resolved.
Oh, good.
That's been in my life for a long time, a lot of psychic attacks since I was a little girl. And I didn't really know how to deal with it until I was in my 30s, and I met somebody that taught me a few things about protection.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I experienced a little bit of voodoo magic somebody sent my way, and it was pretty scary.
Yeah, that would be horrible. And there, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it was horrible. I mean, yeah. I had a huge panther up here in my apartment. My cat saw it first and freaked, and I realized if a cat sees it, then I know it's there and I'm not crazy. But it sent some real negative energies to me.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's frightening. And that's the other side of this, you know, energy awareness is some people use these practices nefariously. And you know, that's terrifying stuff because, you know, most people don't know how to protect themselves against that kind of stuff. And I hope that's one of the scopes of what we've done on the show is try to bring people to that kind of knowledge, not in a forceful way, not in a you should be this or that, but just to give people some tools, I hope, you know.
Because it's important. You know, you definitely have to know how to protect yourself because there's so much out there.
Right. And the other part is that I think that we as human beings are intrinsically very powerful. And, you know, even things like, you know, saying spiteful things about someone behind their back, I think is a form of psychic attack. And so exactly. And so people are attacking each other all the time with their, you know, we're all guilty of that, of being, you know, childish and stupid. But, you know, I think that we have to be aware that our words are the manifestation of energy into this, you know, for lack of a better term, this reality. And so
I totally agree. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, having those skills isn't exclusive to practitioners of certain systems. I think we're doing it to each other all the time, whether we know it or not. Whenever you have malice in your heart for another person and you verbalize that and project something towards them, something is going, because energy follows intention. And so,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. So I
you see that in people's lives. I mean, the people that experience horrible things constantly have nothing but negative thoughts, and you will bring that to yourself. You will manifest that. The
right.
more you put attention on it, you bring it to yourself.
Yeah.
And I practice that. I practice being very positive, positive thoughts. I catch myself sometimes thinking negative, and I stop it.
Right.
I nip it in the ass, you know.
Yep.
And, yeah, that's what I practice too. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And so I think that that's really powerful for people to be aware of that, at least be cognizant of it and try to tame your thoughts, because whatever you send out, you know, reciprocates right back to you. And whether it's a karmic cycle or it's just, you know, the law of returns or whatever you end up believing, the point is what you send out will come back to you, because you're magnetizing yourself in a sense. And so if things in your life, ladies and gentlemen out there, are going terrible and you can't figure out why, change your thinking, because
change your perspective in your thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Because you got to project that positivity in order for positive things to find you. If you project negativity, you're creating a wall against anything good. So, you know, start changing that thinking. So I love when those things come up, Amber, because those kind of ideas, we don't really do a whole show about them, but I like to drop those nuggets every once in a while, because I firmly believe in that. And ladies and gentlemen, believe whatever you want, but in my own experience, this has definitely been the case. And as I train my mind, it ends up changing and metamorphosizing my life.
Right. My school of thought is that also. I was basically trained in that many, many years ago, and it's taken me like 20 years to get where I am as far as manifesting good things, changing my perspective, creating good things in my life. One example is this virus. I always try to be friends with my neighbors, and everyone's always at work, so I didn't really know too many people, and I'm retired. I'm disabled, but I still get out there and do my thing. And with this whole virus thing, I have neighbors knocking on my door. Do you need anything? Aww. Can I help you with anything? And I'm like, oh my God, I've never talked to these people. And I actually had a neighbor bring me over 5 bags of groceries. Aww. Back on the 16th of March. I mean, miraculous things happen when you concentrate on bringing the good back to you and you put out the good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of the laws of the universe. I totally agree with that. And I wish people would practice that more. You know how you meet people that are very negative?
Mm-hmm.
I don't spend too much time talking to them, because I don't want that energy around me.
Yes.
Yeah, and I always say, well, don't spend more than 5 or 10 minutes talking to somebody that wants to cry on your shoulder, because then you're covered with this energy, and then you have to clear your air, you know, your aura. You have to...
Yes.
Cleanse yourself and ground. I do all of that. It's very important to stay at a higher vibration, basically. Mm-hmm. I know you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
And I think more people will understand that at like a cell level, a soul level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this whole virus is making people open up to who they really are, the good that they really are. You know, it's making them get in touch with their spirit, you know, the
right.
connection to whoever or whatever they call.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, of course, it's a tragedy. Of course, it's a dark time for a lot of people. And it's a very uncertain time for all of us. But I think that's a really beautiful thing to look at this situation and find out what is it demonstrating? What is it teaching?
What is the gift in it?
Yeah.
You know, there's a gift in this, basically.
Right. And so while it is a sad time for several people, and it probably will be for a lot more, the point is to stay focused on the light, on the good, and try to find what is it teaching us? Because everything in this world, I think, comes with with something to bear, some fruit, and some goodness, even the darkest stuff. And so hopefully,
you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the reason I chuckled when you were talking about it's taken you 20 years is because I can totally relate to that. I've heard these things growing up too, And a lot of this didn't take root in me until like the last 10. And it's caused me to go, oh, you know, now I kind of see why, you know, while I was bouncing out of, off of that wall instead of hitting the doors, you know. So I can relate.
I totally agree. It's, you know, Brent, to me, it's like a remembering. It's like we already know,
yes,
but I think we fight it.
Right.
Because we're surrounded with this world. I always say, be in the world, but not of it.
Yes.
For the longest time, I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. And I understand that now, especially with this COVID virus going around. I know 3 people that have had it, and they've survived. And it is very scary. And yeah. I have a father that's almost 90, and he has to stay isolated. I have an autoimmune disease. I have to stay in, but I still go out because I don't have a car right now.
Sure.
And I just, you know, I look at it, this is a lesson. This is something we have to learn. And I think a lot of things are getting torn down that shouldn't be here at this moment.
Right.
But it does take a while to see all that. And I just hope people wake up, you know, they see what's really going on. You know, it's real deep. This virus is a very deep lesson.
Yeah,
that's going on.
It is. I agree with you. And, you know, God help everybody out there deal with it as well as you can. But, you know, I guess finding that silver lining, I think, is important. So, but, you know, the thing that's occurring to me, Amber, is that we could probably talk for days and never get done or finished with things to say because you seem like an incredibly bright soul. And I'm so glad that you came on the show today to share not only your experiences, but your insights and your wisdoms. I really appreciate that because I think that gives, you know, it's more than just entertainment at that point.
Yeah, I wasn't really prepared. I didn't know what to talk about or what we were going to talk about. And I thought, oh, just let it flow. Pretend Brent's sitting on my couch and we're drinking coffee and eating donuts. And then let it flow.
Yeah. And that, you know, when I was saying before that I tried to steer the ship of the portal, but it kind of steers itself. And that's what I've learned is that every time I talk to somebody, I let it be just that. I let it be a conversation because I figure whatever's supposed to come out is going to come out in the show. And hopefully people will get something of value from each episode because it's a new conversation. It's not just regurgitating a laundry list of things over and over and over. So I hope that that's what people take from it.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, me too. No, but your show is great. It's morphed into something fantastic. And I see it changing again. And you're going to be surprised what happens. And I see really a lot of good coming from your show.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Also, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you want everyone to hear, but I was asking, who is Brent to me? How did we meet? Why did we meet?
Uh-huh.
And I got the answer that it was a past lifetime that we knew each other.
Oh, cool.
And I thought, well, that's really cool. Yeah, it's really, really cool. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah,
I think that's a good thing. That's why I feel comfortable talking to you, I think.
Oh, yeah, I do too as well. I mean, you're definitely a kindred spirit, so I think it's wonderful that we had finally, after all this time of knowing you, that we have a chance to get you on the show, you know, for more than just a phone call into the live show, so... Thank you.
Oh, I don't reveal much too fast, but you're welcome.
But I hope you'll come back and we can continue this because I know you have a lot more things to share, and I'd love to have you come back and share them.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to, and I hope this was a good interview. I'll
Absolutely.
Have to listen to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure it was. And you know, again, the stories are wonderful, but the wisdoms, I think, are just brilliant. So thank you so much, Amber, for coming on the show and being here with me. And I will be in touch with you.
Thank you, Don. You have a good evening and stay well.
All right. You as well.
Okay, I will.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.